Hi, hello.
You may be seated. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Nobody cares about Father's Day. So, when I grew up, When I grew up, I was taught to survive by a few tips. To think fast, to improvise, and to have a strong sense of street smartness in order to survive in the land of Hong Kong. To survive in Hong Kong, you have to have these elements. And as I figured, actually everywhere else you need those elements. But growing up in Hong Kong, land space is always an issue for everybody, and also for the government. And people were stacking above people. The land was always seemed to not have enough, and because people were numerous, the population numerous. And the population density, if not the highest, is probably, if not the highest in the world, is one of the, at least one of the highest. So the claustrophobia is quite suffocating in some busy districts. And so a little bit history of, if you have read history or you learned this from history class, the result of the Opium War was that the British took over the territory of Hong Kong, and they were in a treaty where they would have to rule the city for 99 years. So China gave them that territory, and they had to make good use of it. Now, early on, in the early 20th century, population haven't been that high yet. So when they built the airport in their 20s, it was still there was still a lot of spacious space in land. So they would have these land reclamation projects at any shore they could get. So they built one, and they had an airport there. But as time went by, decades after decades, after the Cultural Revolution, mass immigration from the mainland came to Hong Kong, and the economy was also flying really high very quickly in the 80s, 90s, and the 70s. So population became more and more. And what happens is that the old airport became the epitome of land, not enough land for the city. Now, these photos are from the old airport, old Hong Kong airport. Now, these are not AI or Photoshop. These are shot in 35 millimeters film. They're that close. This is not a UFO. It's really a plane. So you see, if it's large enough, it's like almost eye level. And the old airport is called the Kai Tak Airport. And this is literal. So probably George is old enough to, or is young enough to know what's this airport. You probably came when you left, it's from this airport. Now, this became the epitome of the problem within the city. So the British government had to, they had two choices really, to solve the problem or who cares, we're going to give it back the land to China in a couple of years. So should we solve the problem? Because this is a very dangerous problem, because the airport is actually, the old airport is actually located at a district that became one of the busiest districts in the city. And if the plane crashes, if there's any accidents, not just the passengers would die, but all the people down there, there's a lot of people would be killed, and a lot of property damage. It would cause a lot of property damage. And also there was a lot of sound pollution too in the city. So they have to solve, they have to either don't care or find a way to solve the problem with what they are given. Now, sometimes when we receive God's blessings. Actually, every time when we receive God's blessings, we want the best blessings, don't we? We want the blessings that we definitely want and we think it's good. But sometimes we may receive some blessings that we may not be satisfied with, or particularly the blessings that we didn't expect to receive from God. So how can we accept God's blessing, whether it's good or bad, or seemingly not so beneficial? What can we do with a blessing that we might not be happy with? The text today would answer this question, as we have just read the text in Joshua chapter 16 to 17. In these two chapters of in the book of Joshua, it addresses the tribe of Joseph who complained about their inheritance, their allotment, their blessings from God. First, we'll see how at times a person may be self-serving when they receive God's blessings. Then you'll see how one can resolve this problem, this issue. And at last, we will go through how you can be grateful with God's blessings. And sometimes we become self-serving from God's blessings. Now, the descendants of Joseph were not satisfied. They were not happy about the portion of land that they were given as an inheritance. Now, the text starts with a description of a combined allotment of the two tribes of Joseph. And then it breaks down into, first, it breaks down to the detail of the allotment, of the description of the allotment of the tribe of Ephraim, and then to Manasseh. Now, you may ask, why in that order? Because isn't Manasseh the older one? Isn't he the one with who received the firstborn blessing? But if you remember in Genesis, at the very end, Jacob, or at that time is called Israel, had given the firstborn blessing, in fact, to Ephraim and not Manasseh, even though Ephraim is the younger one. He switched the order. So this is why Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, was mentioned first before Manasseh. But both of these tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, committed one problem. They both made one problem. They did not drive out the Canaanites in the areas that they were given. Now, the tribe of Manasseh had some trouble. They had some trouble possessing some of the cities that they were allotted. As the Canaanites were stubbornly dwelling there, they did not want to leave. But when these tribes of Manasseh or Ephraim, when they had the chance, they did not drive them out. Instead, they allowed them to live there with them and made them do forced labor. Now, these tribes were supposed to obey the Lord and to annihilate and drive out the Canaanites, but they did not. They did not obey. Now, there's a difference between cannot and did not. Now, cannot means you tried, but you failed. But did not means that you didn't even try. So for them to spare the lives of the Canaanites showed that they were being self-serving. They wanted to take advantage of their free labor to serve themselves. And the tribes of Joseph were dissatisfied and complained about a lack of land for their numerous population to inhabit. Now, the cause of this problem, though, was with both tribes, was that they did not obey God's command to drive out the Canaanites due to their selfish intent. So therefore, they have less space for the people to dwell in, to live in their allotted land that they were given as an inheritance. When we use God's blessings to serve ourselves, we sometimes may be disobedient. We may think ourselves to be, oh, we're very smart, by taking God's blessings to our own advantage or for our own benefit. But disobeying God's commands and teachings may cause us to receive unexpected consequences. God sees more than what we see. His instructions are wiser than our worldly wisdom. So therefore, being self-serving with what God gave us causes one to become greedy. People who are self-serving often want more than what they need. Remember, money never sleeps in Wall Street. People who work in Wall Street or work in as an investment banker, iBanking, or people who work in business in general. Now, their principle in their practice is that to be successful, to be achieving, they have to earn as much money as they can. There's no enough. They can never be satisfied with what they have, with the money that they have. There's no cap. So they have to keep making money and more and more and more. They will never be satisfied. That's why money never sleeps in Wall Street. But what does the satisfaction lead up to? What does the satisfaction with God's blessings cause us to do? The satisfactions with God's blessings make us complain. Now, Joshua told the tribe of Joseph, the two tribes of Joseph, to clear out some of the grounds in the forest and drive out the Canaanites to make more rooms for their people. Now, the tribe of Joseph brought up their complaints and dissatisfaction of a lack of land for their numerous population to inhabit. The solution that Joseph gave to them showed that they had the ability to solve the issue, the problem in their inheritance. But instead, they just like to complain. It just shows that they like to complain instead of solving the problem. Now, if you look at if you know the map, notice the map, their land area combined, both Ephraim and Manasseh, contains almost half of Israel. So they have more land combined than any other tribes that they had received. So when God provides, we may not be satisfied with it. We may think we don't have enough, but God knows what we need. God knows and understands our situations moreover than ourselves. God's blessings for us will not be lacking. Allow God to control our situation and try to do what we can on our behalf. Being grateful and wisely using what God had given us is a sign of spiritual maturity. Therefore, being grateful of God's providence causes one to complain. Before we complain, had we tried our best yet? Had we tried our best to do what we can with what we are given, with what we have? Rather than complaining, we can try to do something with what we have. People often complain, and not being grateful with what God had given them are signs of spiritual immaturity. I had a former colleague who often complained that he doesn't have enough servers, co-workers, and space. Now, you need to know, that church was probably at least double the size of this church in terms of the space. So if they got enough space, in fact, but you know, not a lot of people, but very spacious area in this in the church. But he still complained that he didn't have enough. Now, his co-workers that he had was more than any other co-workers, than any other department of ministries of the church. In fact, it was so much that it was 2-to-1 ratio. So 2 co-workers to 1 sheep. That was how much he had. In fact, he also dragged down some of the other ministries because he pulled out too much people to work for him. But he received so much blessings from the Lord and help, but he was still not satisfied and still complained. So what should you do when you receive God's blessing, whether it's something you want or something that you don't want? Or something you weren't satisfied with? Well, make good use of what God had given you for the right purpose. You may not seem to like the blessings that God has given you, but maybe there's something you have not discovered yet. Maybe there's something you have not discovered something that could come out best from it, that you can make out of it. Be creative, improvise, and try to make good use of God's gift to you, of what God has given you. Now, this church may have a space problem because we just run out of classrooms, and some of our ministry may need more classrooms, but we probably are not available. Change the plan. Change the curriculum. Or when you lack co-workers in your ministry, drop the initial plans. Start serving more from yourself. Put yourself in more to the ministry. Be more hands-on. Serve the ministry. Probably you have to serve the ministry by yourself. Now, the youth ministry probably had the least co-workers. We probably have one right now. And we also have only one room. So we all have all the rights to complain. But instead of complaining, we tend to change the plans. We tend to adjust. We tend to improvise. Rather than having so much different quantities of ministries within the youth ministry, we just set up a few, and we will just build up the quality. In fact, that way, the youth can actually gain more access to me, and they could get more out of what I can give to them. So you guys got your money's worth. So you may not like the college that you have enrolled at, maybe because it's not high-ranking enough, maybe it's not famous enough. Or you may not like the job that you are working at. Maybe you don't like the place that you're living at. Oh, Texas, too hot, too flat, no scenery, very boring. But that doesn't mean you can't do anything with it. It doesn't mean you can't do anything with it. Now, I'll tell you one thing. A lot of my classmates who ended up going into one of the most famous schools that you and I may have heard of to enter their PhD programs or their graduate programs, they actually did, a lot of them didn't went to a well-known, high-ranking, or famous undergraduate college. In fact, a lot of them went to one where you and I have probably not have heard of. But because of that, the lack of competition, lack of pressure, they actually did really well in their grades, in their class, and their GPA is very high. And that paved the way for them to do doctoral studies in one of the schools that you and I might know from how famous it is. So you never know. We never know. By the way, colleges, graduate schools still look at GPAs, even though we were told that churches don't care about our GPAs, but colleges do. So make good use of what God had given you for the right purpose. So now, you've seen how at times a person may be self-serving when they receive God's blessings. Then you saw how one can resolve this issue. And at last, we went through how you can be grateful and do a lot of things with what God has given you, with God's blessings to you. Now, again, this is a real photograph, no AI or no Photoshop, it's that close. Now, the British government could selfishly or self-servingly say, well, who cares? We'll give this land back to China in a couple of years, let them deal with it. If there's accident, who cares? Now, they can carry that mentality. But instead, they chose to solve the problem for the safety of the citizens. They've got no time to complain, but they need to pull up a plan, a really desperate plan. So in the 70s, they pulled up a new project, another land reclamation project. Now, there are many islands in Hong Kong. So they pick one that is closer to the city, but at the same time, a place that is more safe for the plane to land. So even if it lands, it won't crush the citizens or the district. So coming from this picture, this old airport, this is how dangerous it could happen. So it comes from this transformed into this. Now this is the new airport, or now they're called the Hong Kong International Airport, which is much safer if you look at it. So even when the plane lands, if it crashes, only the passengers dies, at least not the people around the area. So the residents are still safe, and less property damage. And there are still many lands, actually, in the world for people to dwell in. Now, they chose this land because they still use man-made lands. By the way, a land reclamation project is technically they use man-made lands to put on top of the sea to make more space. So it has to be flat for the airplane to land. So there are many hills. You can't build up airports in the hills, so that's why they chose one of the seas. So there are many lands, but it's just a matter of do people or do governments want to make space, want to do something with the land, make use of the land. So instead, the British didn't complain. They weren't self-serving, but in fact, they solved the problem for the citizens. So, a little side story. The old airport closed in the summer of 1998. Now, so in the summer of 1998, I was at a family trip vacation with my family. So when we left the airport, we depart from the old airport because it was one of the very last airport to depart. And when we came back, we landed safely in the new airport. So thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the book of Joshua that you have left for us to remind us of your blessings, that how good your blessings could be, even though sometimes it may seem dissatisfying or it may seem not desiring. But Lord, help us to remind us through your text to be grateful to your blessings that you have given us, and help us, provide us wisdom to make the best use of your blessings for us for the right purpose. And we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.